interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian, climate-changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, and shadows on the ground. Postulated cricketism, to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude episode BTWRLM 537. I'm not so sure about the busting anymore. We really got to step up a bit. It's really coming on us hard. And a lot of people don't want to deal with that. They want to think they can turn away. They're really, this new economic world is going to really turn things on its head. And I'm not so sure people are prepared for that. A lot of people think that they're prepared. A lot of people think that they can stand off what's going on. And I don't know that we've really understood what being starved out is relative to what the government, the overpressing power the government has to influence people. And I keep saying we saw that coming through the Kobe swindle. I don't know really what more to say about how obvious that was. And they're going to move it on. I told you the endless diseases. Now we don't even have to have a name on them. UK scientists prepare vaccines for mystery disease X. Elon, do you have anything to do with this one? Although the disease doesn't exist yet, human trials have already begun. Do you get that, folks? Although the disease doesn't exist yet, human trials have already begun. Doesn't sound like a vaccine to me. I hope you either, and I hope you all understand why. You're going to need to understand this. When they come at you like this with this nonsense, you have to be able to go back to your local communicable disease law. It's not a vaccine because they have to have the infectious agent that the vaccine works to stop. Totally unlike what happened in Kobe swindle. And it's written down for us. We don't have to go real far to figure this one out. This is what I've been trying to tell people for all this time. But right on cue, as they bring that out, disease X, endless diseases, one after the other. You have an insight now, listen behind the woodshed, how you're going to go and protect yourself in the future. I ask you to look at that and how you looked at duties and obligations of the officials, and you'll apply that to about every other subject matter area they ever come at you with. I've got a couple going here. You know, I'm in some real trouble about a place. And same thing, code enforcement comes, they're doing frauds. And all you got to look at, you look at their duties and you look at the limitations. And they fail about every time so far, as I can see it. So at least get that observation going. So Mr. Disease X, right along with Elon Musk's X website and all that other stuff, the globalist thing coming together, endless diseases, now they don't have to give it a name, just the X mark, like any serf and slave can't sign their name, folks. It's just how they work, right? Just how they roll. Right on cue, though, this year's common cold is right around the corner here, as they tell us, CDC, new COVID-19, this is the Omicron subvariant, Eris? No, it's the moronic variant, Eris, spreading rapidly in the U.S. This is the common cold, remember. This isn't even COVID-19. They actually mention it in the article. But right on cue, they're coming to warn us of what's going on. They go down a little bit further, and it says because the information relative to what's happening, and they start to explain how this really rolls out and what we're going to have to protect against. The thing that they're really worried to tell you about is that the influenza, which is the COVID-19 symptoms. COVID is just common cold. But what they're really looking at is the influenza and respiratory syncytial virus, the RSV, two respiratory infections that are expected to make their seasonal comeback during colder months. They admit right there it's seasonal. You don't get vaccines for seasonal influenza or any cold. Right, so this is, they're telling us the truth, but they say, oh, it's Eris is here, and they also tell us, that, again, the Greek goddesses are attacking us. This is supposed to be relative to, you know, we're going to be strifed together. We're going to be beat down by this thing, and it's just the common cold. They admit it's not even the flu now. So just pay attention. There's no vaccine that they need to have for this. It's seasonal. Both of them are. And I'm not saying they're not serious. At least the infections are not serious. Those things are serious. Don't miss my point. What we're trying to do is eyeball what the reality is versus what they're trying to push down our throat. And so always parse that out. Don't dismiss something that's actually there. Because they may not be able to identify influenza, it doesn't mean it won't kill you. But this is not a COVID. This is a seasonal, non-vaccinable thing. So stress and strife coming with ARIS, it's just what they're going to do. We can pass the word, but you know, 3/4 of the population's just petrified right now. And this is I was telling you, this is probably going to be our bigger problem in dealing. I mean, just going through, not even wanting to pay attention to anybody, just walking through the world. This lingering insanity sits in us, us as a society. And until I've asked you to think about how you respond to people, walk away from insanity, but if you have to respond, understand how to respond through the official. The official has not demonstrated that you are an infectious principal. And unless they can, now they're discriminating unlawfully. And there's other words that I've used in the past. I won't go through all that. But notice it's 'tis the season again. Seasonal stuff, no vaccinable stuff, and yet they're going to push the fear-mongering and get people to do and continue on this track to disease X forever infinitum. More stress and strife for people. There's a PSA section, I guess, of this broadcast right up front. Hyundai and Kia warn drivers of 90,000 vehicles to park outside due to fire risk. Fascinating story. You'd think by 2023 we'd have to figure it out how to make a car without burning up. But Hyundai, this is not about batteries either. This is just basic electronics, apparently, and sensors and things like that. Hyundai is recalling 90,000 cars and SUVs in the United States, warning owners to park them outside away from structures and other vehicles because they could catch fire. And that's all I'm going to say. You go read, you should get this list if you haven't got your notice already. In fact, they say they may not be giving the notice out till September coming up, so you may want to get a hold of this, find out what's the cause, what's going on, and they have, it's pretty serious, the thermal incidence events, that the localized melting goes on, and so if you have one of those cars or you know somebody, have them run it down, but maybe they haven't got their notice. And apparently this is serious enough that they're now recalling them. And I'm fascinated that this company can even exist for all the years that they've had these problems. Remember, they also had the carjacking type electronic problems with the keys and all, USB ports and things. However, for safety purposes, we will let you know. Hyundai and Kias are burning up periodically. There's a thing you can go do. They're going to call and do a recall and get it fixed if it's something. And that's the other question, so be careful. And moving on to more cybersecurity for those of us that think we can toss stuff away and we think that our digital life is secure, Canon warns printer users to manually wipe the Wi-Fi settings before discarding their printer. Not necessarily as bad as it catching on fire in your living room or your den or your business room. But in fact, you thought the factory reset wipes and Wi-Fi passwords were enough, but you'd be wrong. And there's a way to go through there. You have to do it, reset it twice and turn it off and turn it on before it'll do it. They give you the instructions here in this article. You can get this in the Blogcaster or type in the title, Canon warns printer users to manually wipe Wi-Fi settings before discarding. To find the little list that you have to do, it's pretty simple. They have you do it twice and make sure that it's done. It holds the memory, and so you got to do that. But now moving digitally into this new world, one more serious caution as we move into this digital token citizenship of state. Maximus is one of the just a few hundred organizations impacted by the MoveIt transfer hack to appear on Klopp's dark website here for those of us to know. If you were all, again, they wanted to, Obama scare and a Trump scare, medical help. the death squads and all this by committee, your health by committee. U.S. government contractor says MoveIt hackers accessed health data of at least 8 million individuals. And so here's I told you the third party problem is going to be terrible as we move this problem, this digital world into our lives or can't avoid it. We're going to hear a lot of this problem. The Virginia-based Maximus contracts with the federal, state, and local governments to manage, administer government-sponsored programs such as Medicaid, Medicare, health care reform, and welfare to work. In an 8K filing on Wednesday, Maximus confirmed that the personal information of a significant number of individuals was accessed by hackers exploiting a zero-day vulnerability in the MOVEit transfer. Won't read more. You can follow it down. I just put these in my this PSA section of the broadcast today. A lot of them today, so I can just put them all together as I found it. But this is our vulnerabilities to all of this relative to data. I've been talking about this for a long time. This is for most some of you, especially my listeners. You're certainly probably well up on all this. It might be a broken record to say so, but I don't think people are getting it. And I can see they certainly don't get the next level of how this thing works. I'm talking about being imposed by someone else's liability that you use, their services that you use. In this case, we bring up again WorldCoin. WorldCoin says it will allow companies, governments, to use its ID system. Boy, that was quick, wasn't it? How fast does this work? Well, here it is, right? Real quick. You don't have to go too far. This is all about the community. And when you start to see this guy, Sam Altman, you know, the alternative man, and you start to understand what they're doing, and some of you have already read this, again, a broken record behind the woodshed at some level. I'm not really talking about that, though. I'm talking about how you're going to deal with it, or actually not deal, how you avoid this. Some of us can do that. I'm not even saying I'm going to be able to continue to do that with my condition going on here, but I have the insight. And so I hope you do too, and you can position yourself better than to get yourself into a dishonor, someone who dishonors you, and then you're walking on marbles for a long time. You're trying to figure out how to do stuff with not a thing, and also not engage the system. It's very difficult. But listen to what these folks are talking about, and you'll see where this WorldCoin is. It isn't just your ID that they're going to take, your eyeball and your iris scan and all that. Thank you for the email about the iridology and all, too. Yes, it's very important stuff. They got your health, and as I should pass on the word, there's somebody, and I don't remember the name, excuse me, that can look through iridology pictures of families, I think it was particularly women, and watch how diet affected their health over time. So there's a genetic component to that as well. Pretty interesting, really interesting stuff. But going to the iris scan of WorldCoin, their claim, we are on this mission of building the biggest financial and identity community that we can, said Ricardo Massieria, general manager of Europe at Tools for Humanity, the San Francisco and Berlin-based company behind the project here that wants to give all this data to the community. It's a financial and identity community. The idea is that anyone can in the future build their own orb and use it to benefit the community that it's aiming for. Well, their own orb is these companies. This is open source, if you will, for doing this. Well, I hope you heard that it's for the community. So what could possibly go wrong here? Sauron Altman, that's just another straw man, isn't it? WorldCoin plans to create an identity and financial network. The idea is that we build this infrastructure and that we allow other third parties to use the technology. And I want to remind you how this works, because it's real up in our face. Third parties with ESG obligations is what you'll be working with, that you'll need to meet their obligations to boot on top of it all. And when we look at all this community sharing, that's nothing more than A2030, shared prosperity. It's community indentured token austerity. And if you didn't understand and know, and what you should see in X now, X Twitter, what it's apparently he's trying to do with his town square, what you'll find, is also known as direct democracy. Not democracy at all, and it's not republic for sure. No, it's direct democracy. And this is what the underside, the backside of this, the really backside of this is, that all that direct democracy, all that voice you have is all subject to scrutiny through the third party liability to ESGs. ESGs are nothing more than two, because one is governance, two of the 17 goals for sustainability. And so, economy and social. This is a financial community, an identity community. And it's direct to market. You got to know you. They have to know who you are. Now, it's not you. It's a fiction you. It's the Altman you. It's that digital tokenized citizen you that they attach to you, and you can't do anything without that. But that's the population. That's the demos that they're talking about that's going to speak. So this is also nothing more than a shared prosperity of a community. For their purposes, they get you into it. You now are subject, and that's called direct democracy in the future. I've talked about this way in the past, if you did not know. And I hope people start getting all this in their mind about how this starts to work. It's not just that it's a token citizen. It's not just that you don't get a phone. As I say, don't get the phone. But you're going to have to figure out a way, an alternative to all this, because you're not going to be able to, again, they tell us that we've been told, you're not going to buy or sell without that mark. And so I was reading some other information. It's not really about the mark either. It's about the seal of God. If we go to the other side, we should be protected there, and we are said to be protected. So we get lost in, I say put marks on the beast. So I don't care about the mark of the beast. Just put marks on the beast. Do your behind the woodshed stuff. Put them in control. You put them in the control they're supposed to be, which is underneath the law that no one thinks exists. And the more I look, it sits there. It's just being ignored. And it's being ignored at very high levels, all on purpose. So this token citizenship is real. It's happening. It's going to be a thing. It's not a direct, it's not like money. Everyone wants to believe, this is just going to be like a bank. No, it's not. It's a third-party obligation that you are beholden to. Shared prosperity is austerity. They'll tell you what you'll do, how it works. And it's not just in America. It's not just in Europe. You want to see some nationalist propaganda, token citizen patriotic push in Russia, tokenized exceptionalism in the title, digital ruble can help Russia fight sanctions. So if you're a Russian citizen, patriotic, and I'm not dissing all that, it's your culture, it's who you are, it's your people, it's your ancestry. But these folks over there, like Putin, are taking this national pride, if you will, not the kind that we see in colors and rainbows, but people who want to protect their way of life. And these people do. And it's culturally known. And they're willing to spend their lives to do so. 26 million in World War II all alone. Just to keep themselves separate today and being able to be separate. But the government now, the digital ruble can help Russia fight sanctions, is a propaganda tool. They want people in this system of token citizenship. This is the globalization at work in Russia. As I've said, it's going to be everywhere. The national electronic currency was unveiled by the central bank in late 2020 and became operational this month. It's already happening. As I've said, this is already going on. They say that they're also talking about it trying being different than the BIS, the Bank of International Bank of International Settlements, and that it's suspended, but that's because they're shifting the so-called multipolar thing to the BRICS. Condition, and they got to do some adjustment there. As I talked last week, they want to talk about a separation, so that they're taking the people's pride in the nation, and they're saying, we're separate, we're exceptional, we're different, we can do this, support the digital ruble. People don't understand what this is all going to mean. It's quite, I don't know what to say more than people are going to be blindsided by all of this. They say the idea of introducing a national digital currency was unveiled by the bank in 2020. Unlike virtual currencies such as Bitcoin, the digital ruble is said to pose minimal risk, as it will be issued by the state monetary regulator and backed by the traditional money. Now, what's traditional money? Fiat. It's not real money. It's not money. It's not even, you can't use the word money in fiat. Regulations stipulate that the digital ruble can be used for transfers and payments while the currency is kept in digital wallets on the platform operated by the central bank. It will not be possible to open a deposit, take out a loan, or receive interest on that digital currency. You don't see the control that the government has here. And you're going to have to use that. They're going to keep it parallel for a while, but right now, but they're going to go ahead and change this. They make it sound like the people of Russia need to have this and support it to do what? Remove the sanctions from the country. So I found this fast as it's coming down is really amazing. This is digital propaganda, nationalism in the form of this ad, it's an ad for supporting a way out of sanctions. And it's all it is. It's an inducement to get you into digital control. And I want you to see this because they're going to use all kinds of these things in different places, different styles, different. They're going to pique interests in different ways. And it may not even come as, let's say, the national currency to start with. It may start as a few different types as they move everybody together. Like I said, what they call Bitcoin is being identified here as the outlaw. They use that in the West to actually get everybody involved in it. So that's the start of that. But they also refer here to how, when they control it, it has to do with the boogeyman of what they call money laundering and grand crime and all that stuff. And that happens, but it's not necessarily the bulk of what happens. And I would suspect that there might be ways to control some of it without controlling the whole thing. Now, we see the digital ruble stuff, but there's a regular ruble. And we have a big report here from Bloomberg. I understand the West-East type thing going on here. Very fascinating what they'll propagandize to the West, and people will eat it up thinking it's great. They do their own nationalistic sense promotion here and propaganda. Ruble among the three worst performing currencies. The Russian ruble slid to a 16-month low against the dollar this week. The depreciation of the Russian ruble in recent weeks had placed it among the three worst performing emerging market currencies alongside the Turkish lira and the Argentine peso. Bloomberg reports. That was a big headliner for me. The Bloomberg is just spewing here. When you understand what's going on, it's going down. They have an explanation. They know why. They're not afraid of this. Understand what's going on. They just mentioned Argentina and Turkey and that's the breakover to Asia and Russia's in there. But remember, the South, the global South is starting up on their own. So we have this, they want to promote that the Russian ruble is doing bad, but go to their stock, if you go and look and listen to what they're saying, Moscow reveals reasons behind weakening ruble. They're really not afraid of it. This has to do with their trade. See, they had to go off of sanctions and go find new markets. Then there's an imbalance in how those markets are going to work, and it takes time to work that out. I told you this, moving from BRICS and getting the SDR to work, it didn't take some time. They're going to work their international currencies first before they can settle into the basket and make it work. Here we have the weakening as an explanation. The weakening of the ruble is due primarily to trade balance, the inflows and outflows of currency into and out of the country. Silanoev said, eroding that the demand for the foreign currency is higher in the summer holiday season. And so this is a seasonal thing that Bloomberg is trying to make the people in the West think that, oh, you're taking down Russia. This is part of their seasonal cold, if you will. They understand that. They don't have a vaccine for it. They just know that they have to weather through, and they'll tough it out while they're in the middle of these sanction shifts and adjusting their whole economy to be independent of the West. The minister added that some analysts attribute the ruble's drop to the latest sales of foreign businesses in Russia and the outflow of foreign currency abroad. However, he stressed the finance minister and the central bank had previously agreed that the volume of currency withdrawal from the sale of these businesses cannot exceed $1 billion per month. Thus, this sale of foreign businesses is not critical for the currency market. And again, these are all different markets. It's a currency market, not their whole economy. So they're not worried about it. Bloomberg comes out and said, oh, this goes tanking. It's not working. They have some things to adjust. They are having a little bit of everyone has to adjust their lives a little bit while it's working. But remember, we just heard that the people's wages are up. They're happy. We also heard that their taxes are going up because of that. So we see how they get induced into that as well. And they're not going to escape once they get into the digitization of the token citizenship here. But we want to be promoting that the West is, Biden's, the feeblenomics is working and all, and whatever they're doing is really taking Russia down. There's an adjustment going on. Russia is taking it in stride. I told you this 10 years ago. I showed you where China was doing the same thing. They're actually working a plan, and their plan seems to be working very well. Anytime you have such a big change like this, you're going to have some difficulties, but they're not. I haven't seen anything that says that they're really concerned about it. In fact, I think they're not. Because they're in a war, they get to make their economy even better from production. They're shifting into production. That's what Africa is going to be about. But here, we want to hear that, Russia's currency's tanking. Well, maybe the currency might be, but Russia's maybe not here relative to the West. No, Russia's economy overtakes Germany, UK, and France despite Western sanctions. So much for feeblenomics. The conflicts in Ukraine, U.S.-led sanctions, and Russia have wreaked havoc in European economies. Remember the boomerang Putin just identified for us, if you didn't listen to the guy behind the woodshed saying this is like spitting into a hurricane. And it happened immediately. And now countries are going down in Europe. And I think they're coming to the point now. They want Europe back. Those countries want Europe back. They want their individual countries back. And I'm going to be nice to see that again. Maybe they'll stand on their own 2 feet, kick NATO out, and stop their war with Russia, because that's not going anywhere. That's not going anywhere as far as a good outcome relative to the psychopaths sitting in Washington driving a lot of this. And we're going to see, I told you, the South, if you will, Africa, all these folks, these nations, these folks in these nations are fed up. When they go enough is enough, like Russia did, it's going to start. They will be controlling themselves. We see a little bit of news in the coming here in a bit, showing when you have the power, or you're going to assert the power anyway, whether it's really the total might you need, you're not going to put up with it no more. Versus a country who really has to be careful geopolitically. Here, the Russian economy overtakes Germany, UK, and France, despite Western sanctions. And the Russian economy has overtaken Germany thanks to U.S. efforts to provoke a recession in Europe. And I told you this is all about economy. Oh, this is a war, an economic war, that's window dressing over in Ukraine. It's a show. People are dying. That part's real. But the whole actual thing was to enslave Europe. And they allowed themselves to be enslaved. I don't know how much longer they'll do it. I don't know if they're powerful enough, if I could say that, powerful enough to stop it. But we have the World Bank involved here in a report last week that by the end of 2020, Russia's wealth in purchasing power parity, that's PPP, terms exceeded $5 trillion for the first time, putting it ahead of Western Europe's three biggest economies, France, financial giant UK, and industrial powerhouse Germany. Industrial powerhouse, they just shot themselves in both kneecaps, the feet, and I think they're ready to take off an arm and a hand. Totally missing the point. I don't know. These guys have to be agents in the government for the world bankers or the United States. I can't see how people make rational decisions here. But Russia's doing fine. Russia's economy. About their currency, they don't care. They've got some adjustments. Remember, they're a producer. They'll just make more gold, how that works. They'll just make more stuff. They'll find markets. And people who need their stuff are going to buy it. They're going to find ways around it, however they're going to do it. Russia could regulate video game currency. So Russia's not focusing just on their economy. They're looking at how to go take yours. Like any government, they're going to take your economy out. They don't want competition. We heard this going to digital ruble. It's also, and I didn't talk about this last week, about gaming centers. Well, we have another video game currency situation going on this week, so I'll talk a little bit about it. Russia regulates video game currencies. The estimated global revenue, excluding esports, exceeded $214 billion in 2021. The turnover of video game currencies that can be exchanged for regular money could soon be regulated in Russia. This is what I was telling you about the bitcoins. You got to somehow get them out and get them into the currency of the country you're in. I don't know how you do that over in the future somehow. That's going to be a whole lot more savvy and intelligent than I could be in that. How you get there from a digital electron to real money out in the world is going to be those exchanges, I guess. If it's not black behind this, they call black market. Oh, did I just talk racist? I don't know. I guess there's not whites. How can there be black? But anyway, the issue of getting the money out, Russia's already knowing about it. They don't want competition. They're going to take away. They're going to leave cash going. Remember, cash. Russians are pulling more cash out than they ever have. That's also going on. But this description here is the non-convertible in-game currencies mean that the players can exchange real fiat money for in-game currency without the possibility of reverse exchange. Non-convertible currency can only be used in-game to purchase in-game items. There are special exchange platforms for convertible game currencies, which underlies the necessity of their turnover being regulated. They want, be like BIS said, they want to know where your last $100 and even less is. They want to keep track. You're doing it independently. You think this is private? You think you're going to keep it private? The government's going to come in and make you an outlaw. And if you want to participate, you're going to be regulated. This is what the plan. This is known throughout history how this works. I've talked about it even in the mining law. Miners were outlaws. They were attacked by the army in the United States of America. The army attacked miners until there was a truce and the mining law was made to bring miners in and regulate the extraction of minerals. And that's what the mining law was about. And then the army could go away, go back, and the miners took care of it from there with the states. And so this was a take outlaws and you regulate them. In this case, it wasn't so bad. But what we're looking at here is this is just a way to keep track of you. They're going to tokenize you, and they're going to keep track of you for what? For keeping track of how much they're going to get as a country for the taxes. How they're going to regulate how this money gets exchanged so they can keep track of you and what you're going to pay for taxes. In 2021, the total global game revenue excluded esports amounts to $214 billion. It's astonishing numbers here. The chairman of the Association of Electronic Money Market Participants and Money Transfers, Viktor Tostov, wrote in a column in Forbes Russia this week that anti-money laundering measures familiar to the banking business or the cryptocurrency market will inevitably be extended to virtual gaming world. Okay, anywhere these tokens are traded and they can get to fiat, they're going to be hunted down. So it's going to be this smart guy or gal. I think one or maybe it'd be a gal. I know there's a lot of gals are in this coding stuff for this. You're going to have to come up with some real interesting way to get fiat because they're not going to want to see that. Whether or not they can attach to gold and silver, I don't know. We seem to be fallen in the United States. We have the ability to the states to coin money or mint coin, but they haven't. And until they do and stop taxing it, and recognize what property is in gold and silver, and leave that to property to people, I don't know how you move this money around. Again, silver coin, gold coin, actual coins that have a known mixture value, have a known value against things, other things, would be separate. It's not really a currency. Remember, even the Fed takes gold and silver coin as asset. And this is critical for us as the people to start to understand. I'm talking like this. I don't know half of what I need to know, but I know it's there. And there's a couple people in our country, United States of America, that have an insight that I think maybe need to be tapped. They kind of went down the wrong road, got themselves caught up, as you would think the government would want to do, and didn't qualify, as I said, like the cryptocurrency industry needed to make sure they weren't going to be regulable and not do things that looked like they had to be regulable. That's what these guys that have done this in the past, 20, 30 years ago, about silver money and how to keep it going, and gold, they have a really good insight. Those are the ones we're going to have to tap and figure out how we move this thing forward. But Russia is to regulate video game currency. Anything token is going to be, anything that you can get fiat from is going to be tracked down. They don't want us to have cash. They don't want us to have economies that are separate. The United States, though, okay, what do we do? Digital tokenism. Well, we already have that going in, and we already have our social credit system in our credit system. But what do Americans do? We just keep borrowing. Haven't figured that one out. Not even fiat. I mean, they just want to go into this digital private condition that is seems to me to be a fraud system. But what else am I going to do if people are using it? Then we all agree. That's okay. Bidenomics in action. Americans' credit card debt tops record $1 trillion. So here I've had behind me, which I'd say, watch what the sovereigns in the world are doing. Watch what Russia does. Watch what China does. Follow their lead. They went to gold. They went to production. What do Americans do? Top credit debt. Everything they touch, fiat, is debt anyway. There's nothing they can do in that system that's not debt. And there's not much way to get around it, actually, unless you focus in on getting your silver and gold coins and your offset. Let me look at how much money you got to put in fiat just to get those coins. I was going through it today. I don't want to get too deep in it, but looking at how much is a dime worth relative to food? How much is a quarter worth? Well, it just so happens quickly, the price of a flour, of a bread, of bread is around $1.98. And so if a quarter is worth a little bit, almost four, so you double them, you double the bread, and you can get for a quarter silver base value, you can buy two loaves of bread for $2 a pound. It's a quarter. It's half of that because you get two. That's just like they paid way back when, 12 cents a loaf, a pound for bread. And that's what we're missing. But you get those quarters together to try and make that silver. Look how many, to get the quarter of an ounce, look how many quarters you're having to put in fiat currency and coin. In order to buy that, you're dumping coins, just useless coins, into a pile. And this is our big problem. So instead of Americans going to gold and saying, well, we'll let you take your fraudulent system away and we'll let you fall on your face while we at least keep our ability to buy commodities at a continuing relationship with each other, Bidenomics, Americans go to credit card debt. And I'm not judging it. That's where they have us. People have to survive, and we're not. $1 trillion, I can't even imagine that number. People in debt that far. And it, again, looking through Kobe Swindle, it was partly set up to accelerate that as well. But what are the nations doing, these sovereigns that are watching to protect themselves against this plunderer, this psychopath in the world called the United States government that goes after Europe, takes them down, and they get taken down? They didn't stop at all. I got to give credit to China and Russia for anticipating that and working that through. I mean, we the people should be that intelligent, and I see we're not. I'm not saying everybody, but I don't know how we're going to, we get so many people around us that are in this kind of debt and this kind of harm. I don't know how you make any, how do you trade with them as well? Yeah, you really do have to get to that production side of it, but prepare for the worst. China diversifying gold currency reserves as U.S. dollar becomes riskier bet. Oh, it's all the wager. You ever heard about your wages? Yeah, it's all a wager. That's why it's taxed. It's a big gamble. But everyone knows this is a big riskier bet. What's riskier? Well, it's riskier based because the United States went and politicized that dollar. They should have never done that. That was, again, easy to see the hurricanes coming. And the United States is spitting right into that. And anybody who follows it's going to be into that. And China and Russia, to their credit, said, no, we're not doing that. Enough's enough here. Experts told Sputnik that China's binge on non-dollar currency reserves, including record amounts of gold bullion, is being driven by how unstable the U.S. dollar has become. Countries like Russia, which hold few dollar reserves, present a safer bet for investors and traders. There we are, the speculators are driving this whole system. People everywhere have to get out of this speculation and just be happy with a stable hedge against all this crime and fraud and keep their value down through time. That's what gold and silver do. They're not there to make profit. They're there to maintain a stability. And people need that. They don't get it when their credits are going to $1 trillion. It's not going to happen. China has continued its steady march toward de-dollarization its economy, revealing on Monday that July has been the 9th straight month of gold purchases and that its foreign currency reserves were even higher than expected, or at least the West expected. So, again, the West is blind. The people in China are the people running the country and Russia. They're understanding what they need to do. It's kind of interesting the amount that they're holding back. I mean, that they have, it doesn't seem to be able to be enough to run the country. But again, when you have a combination of things, I guess it all can work. The point is that you look stable and responsible. And that's what they've been doing. And they've been doing it for over 10 years. I was reporting as they started to do that here. And so what's happened in the United States and what's happened to the price of gold? It's dropping relative to all this nonsense. And again, I'm not going to say, I think we should be holding gold and silver coins that we can exchange for commodities and to buy things. Whether we can afford that, I don't know, because our dollar is just so, well, $2,000 bucks by fiat, and now buys the same ounce of gold that we used to buy for $20, right? Or $20 of whatever. It used to be worth $20. If you got $20, it was an ounce of gold. Now it costs $2,000. Look how many of those dollars you now need, how less valuable, not valuable your fiat currency is what Russia and China are hedging at this point. The price of gold went down on this new economic news, this new, cook the books stuff. I think it may drive down some more, but you're not looking at that difference. You're looking at being able to buy commodity at all. And so I would be careful. Yes, I know you always buy and invest in the dips and all that stuff. Not as an investment, more if to buy it, you want to get it as cheap. You don't want it to run away from you going up, because then it takes less and less. You have less and less to be able to buy. You have to be able to look at these markets that are up and down, and pick and choose how you get into the market to get you some at all. It's not about the value and making money on profit. That's not what it's there for. It's, do you have some? And if this thing goes as south as it looks like it could go, will you have some to trade to eat? Will you have something to trade to someone for their labor to give you food to eat if you can't make it? And when you look at a dime, a silver dime, or let's say that we go to the quarter, because it's simple, a silver quarter will buy someone two loaves from someone who just made that for you. And you're paying 25 cents for two loaves of bread, you're eating. If you don't have that silver, you got quarters, you're going to have a whole lot of quarters to find. So this is how this seems to work, and we're looking at, if you want to look forward to a dire time. As long as you think you can float it, I guess there's nothing going on. We've lived a pretty leisurely life that way, even though they've been stealing from us the whole entire time. There may be this moment when we aren't able to, well, we're not going to be much better than they were in the Depression. It's already been saying we're in worse condition already before it looks like it's bad. So let's move over here to what I've been telling you also about getting in the law. You're going to have to get your protections in the law, because what you thought were your rights that aren't written aren't going to be there. EU state wants to enshrine right to cash in constitution. Austria has been lagging behind the European countries on digital payments. But what they want to do is they want to remove the worry from people. See, this is a setup for the takedown as well, but I just want to point out something here relative to they now want to give people confidence that cash is king. We're going to constitutionalize it. More and more people are worried that cash could be restricted as a means of payment in Austria. Withdrawing of the ATMs every year has been going down, and people in Austria have about $102 euro in cash with them. Sounds like they're pretty well off to me if there's $1 trillion of debt out there for people that don't have it. But cash is elementary to the means of payment. It's important that we create an unambiguous legal framework in order to secure it accordingly. Everyone should have the opportunity to freely decide how and with what they want to pay. This is a setup for the takedown, and as I see it, you need to put this into a law, but you also need to put in that gold and silver in coin and minted coin will be legal tender as well. You need to move that in, because cash is fiat, and as much as they can put this in the Constitution, they can take it out. And this is the problem with these constitutions. Now, it's much more difficult once you get it in. You have to have your majorities. But this is what I wanted to point out here. They want to make sure that you feel comfortable and confident that your cash is okay, because people know about cash. We know about it, but we want convenience. And so while they put you into this, and then they lull you into the digital. Once they have most everybody done in the digital, if there's no requirement to take the legal tender, then they can take it back away. Here in like the United States, and I think in the UK, there's a requirement for taking legal tender. I think that's part of why it's legal. It's that protection. The thing is, that's not really what you want to be in as a people. That just all you just want to do is protect your value. That's going to be done in a known historic metal money, not a base money, a debased money, one that has, again, the majority of it is gold, the majority of it is silver. And they have to make it not 100%, because you have to have a bit of alloy in order to toughen it up so it can be usable, is at least as I understand that. So your silver coin, I think is like 71% silver. But it needs the rest. I think some may have been 92%, but it needs some alloy, but it's understood and known. And if the government makes it, then you know it's weighed and measured. And that's the other important part here. But Austria, they know people are not liking this. So we're going to quell the problem by putting in the Constitution and making you believe that this is something that's really, really important. It is, but it's not how the future changes for people. As you saw, if you've watched history, just watch people just change themselves and be changed by others that are in control and understand how that works. So we just don't want cash in the Constitution. For those of you in Austria and anywhere, if you're going to go to that route to the Constitution and put cash as required, has to be required to be received, why not add gold and silver mint coin as well? And start making that valuable to you all. I don't know. I have another answer for this. I don't know how this works. You can't give a third party the ability to control your money and your cash. You watch the United States has gone down the tubes relative to its purchasing power. I mean, I don't even really fully understand them. I was looking at a chart, $1939 today. When I was looking at that bread, to buy a loaf of bread in 1939, the value of that bread that cost today is $64,000 in today's money. How that works, I really don't quite understand. But this is the problem. Look at all the bags of cash you need to get a loaf of bread. A pound of bread is what it was through time. This is how they've debased our whole society. And then they went into derivatives and fraud, and now we're looking at digital tokenism. And it's really quite fascinating. debanked Nigel Farage blasts UK bank NatWest's new cash limits. So Nigel Farage is coming back through this. He got his account taken. They didn't want to talk to him. Found out some woman in NatWest, Coots, did him dirt. And so she's out. But when they came back, they start to put more restrictions. And this is the thing that they're doing. It's not even unknown. They broke his old contract. They make a new contract. Former British member of the EU Parliament MEP, Nigel Farage, who is no stranger to political motivated debanking, is keeping an eye on the banks of what they're doing next. Nothing new as it happens. The one that they banked him, NatWest, has changed its terms and conditions, but the big picture is that the overall and long-standing push toward a cashless society. So they got outed. He gets on his face, his mug on the front page everywhere, or whatever every website. It's bad what happened to him, but this is you. This is everybody in the future. These banking systems are going cashless. It's going to token citizenship. I could read the story here. Farage is on it. They gave him an apology, I think, and some other things, but they're taking away more in giving him to him back. This is how it gets adjusted. You kind of see that in websites, and you kind of see that. What was the website, like Twitter? They can change their rules as they need, whenever they need. It's nothing set. And even though they got caught, this is a message being sent outward. And cash is king in some regard. It's not ideal, but it's better than token citizenship. It's better than what you see Russia saying. We control it. It's not your deposit. It's not your money. You don't get a loan from it. It's just this way to keep track. And you have to do it. There's no escape. And so we're seeing the outward flow of this through someone notable like Farage. I don't know why it happened to him. I don't know if he's part of the plan to let us know and then still have it work against us. We have feeling for, I feel he needs to be protected from that like we all do. But I don't know that he's not another agent. Part of me doesn't like a little bit about him, a lot actually, and don't know why he even has much to do or much to say relative to what you end up watching down the road. But that's just a private opinion of just watching things go on. And then not much happens. A lot of people, I can put me in the same group. We talk. Well, how much are we getting done? So that said, I know I'd get a lot done. It's not that I'm looking for appreciation, but I'm saying it's not appreciated what gets done that doesn't get said, that people, society, at least the work I've done in the past, that are getting benefit from the things that me and colleagues do over years. It just takes years. That I don't see much of that happening with a lot of talking heads and celebrities anywhere. And it's just the work you have to do. Those of us, the people that are trying to, move things along despite this oppression, wherever we can get it to go, to correct it, we just do that. And I don't know whether that's futile or not. I just know it gets done. I just know that I don't want to talk about much of it, but the things that people are still enjoying, the work that people that like myself are doing, no one will ever know. And that's, I think, partly how this works. If you get too notorious and you're not on the inside, you get taken out or you get blocked or you get blocked out. And so it's an interesting game that gets played, and we, for some reason, I haven't given up that maybe there's things and examples we can all give. And if we give enough of us making those examples, then we our shoulder to that, our quiet shoulder to the back of the wagon that we need to go down the road better does start to roll in the right direction. Breaking, Illinois' Supreme Court. You want to talk about cash, banning cash? Here's the case. On the other end of this side, Illinois' Supreme Court approves elimination of cash bail effective September 18th. The 5-2 opinion released Tuesday morning, the court ordered the elimination of cash. There's your cashless society. Bail as approved by the legislature to take effect in 60 days. And we can read the opinion for yourselves. I'd like to have you read this. This is an interesting, I think, knee-jerk reaction in a way. And I'll give you a quick little example that's happened in another. I think it's Oregon that did the same thing. And what happens around this? To me, this is an adulteration of what used to be called own recognizance, OR. You could OR yourself on what used to be a bail. If you didn't have a a record that you never showed up to a summons, they would let you go out on your word. Your word was your bond. There's your bond. There's your bail. Then for a few years, a decade or so, they stopped that. Then you had to pay. It was like, well, they are. I just watched another armored car go stop at the courthouse. These are banks. And so that's what they started to do. Then, because of the the Democrat, the liberal view was, oh, these are oppressing the poor who don't have the money. And they were. But the courts started taking money instead of taking your OR, looking at your history. And if your word was good, just letting you go, let you come back. And when you stopped having your word be good, then they started to put the fees on you. Because it's all about just getting you to court. It's just are you going to get to the court? And if you show that you get to the court, then there's no need for the cash. So that was where this all should have started and ended. But no, now they're going to take away the cash. The legislature sweeping criminal justice legislation passed in 2021, known as the Safety Act, banned using cash deposits as a pretrial release surety effective January 1st, 2023. But dozens of state attorneys and sheriffs filed lawsuits challenging the law's constitutionality. Those cases were combined into a single case heard in Kankakee County. The court's written opinion on Tuesday said Kankakee County Judge Thomas Cunnington applied, quote, uneven reasoning in his December 20th ruling that found the elimination of cash bail to be unconstitutional. So they can get rid of that. Now they get to release people when you don't have the money. And so this was what happens in another state. This is why you got to be careful. And friends of mine wanted to stop this, and I said, you got to be real careful because the Bar Association's messing around with this. They're not really looking at it's a pendulum swinging extremes, and no one's looking at the real problem. And so I explained to my colleagues so that hopefully something will get going. But to make this more correct, it's going to take a little while. I don't know about all this. But what happened in Oregon was that there was a serial homeless arsonist. Setting fires in fields at the summertime of the year. They could not put him away because they don't have money bail. They had to release him. The cops couldn't. They could arrest him. They could make the claim. They'd charge him, and then they had to put him out. The white guy went out and started fires some more. And so this is a bad answer. This is not. There's no way to control it. The guy must have a mental defect. I guess they could have went on a mental hold, but I don't want to see that either. This is a very sensitive issue. You got to have people that are not hurting other people to be released. And when they do, you have to have a well to kind of cool them off a bit. It's kind of like what they do with drunks. You put them in a tank, right? You put them in the tank, and when you think that they're not drunk anymore, you then let them out again. You keep themselves safe, and you keep the other people safe. You know, you give away cash bail, and you get someone that's an arsonist, and they can't keep them. The sheriff had to release them. Is again your system being messed around with. And it may be unconstitutional to say what that other judge did, but to make it so there's no cash required may cause other problems. People are all kinds. There's all kinds of people causing all kinds of mischief. And so I don't want to give any more credit than to the state than we need. But at some point there is a parity that has to be done between people that don't want to be safe around other people and those that are and aren't a danger whatsoever. And I just want to point this out. This has been actually a long-term thing, this no bail issue. And it should have never been a question, but the Bar Association made it one. They allowed being liberal, they allowed it. And now they've got this kinder, gentler criminal system that doesn't really work either. But it's why you see a lot of the problems going through the cities and this and that and the other. And we look at it and say, well, where's the law and order? They reduce it to how it adversely affects a certain class of society. So, U.S. Supreme Court here, we've got to go to a Second Amendment right, I suppose, and maybe not. And this is the thing I'm fascinated by what these courts do. United States Supreme Court restores Biden's curbs on homemade ghost guns for now. And so I'm glad to see the for now, and there's going to be resistance on this. But these ghost guns are what? They're nothing more than you and I putting together a device that can shoot a projectile, which is an arm, if you will. We have a right to bear. We have a right to bear it. We have the right to make it. How this is even getting questioned is as a ghost gun. You put a name on it. Oh, it's scary. Boo. I don't know. Halloweenish. No. We have the right to make these arms. And I don't even know that we have a, there should be a prohibition against where we get our stuff to make those arms. But that's another question for somebody else. Right now, I'm seeing that the United States Supreme Court puts a federal administration ban, stay on making homemade guns. Maybe the Supreme Court's looking for a nice solid answer they can kind of dunk this thing. Maybe that's what's going on. But to be able to tell you and I not to build a gun seems to be a violation. If you have the right to bear, you have the right to acquire. You have the right to dispose. There should be no question. The Supreme Court here, U.S. Supreme Court, on Tuesday granted the request by President Joe Biden's administration to reinstate, at least for now, the federal regulation aimed at reining in private-made firearms called ghost guns that are difficult for law enforcement to trace. Law enforcement is government. They're not supposed to trace the people's arms that they use to protect themselves against a malfeasant administration of government. And so I don't understand this registration thing either, even for concealed carry, or that the states have a right to say anything about that, especially when in their constitutions you have the right to bear. They want to say, oh, not everybody has an absolute right. Well, in this case, we're talking about malfeasance of government. There's no question about that. You don't have to go ask permission, even though the people haven't figured out when that line gets crossed. We have a firearm, though. Firearm is federal defined. And then they put a straw man name called ghost guns to make them scary, like assault weapon. So I'm not so sure about this. They've allowed the stay, and I just wonder where that's coming out. People are the people that are the supporting, protecting the gun right are confident. They're a little disappointed, but they're confident. So I keep track on these anomalies more than the right. Why, like, it was even a question up until just recently whether you had the right to bear outside your house. I don't know who made that up. You have the right to bear arms for malfeasant government, and you don't know when that's going to happen. And that's a tough call one way or the other. Have you got to think about that? And so I don't know more about what we're seeing as far as these controls, except that you would think that the government would want to see controls. Even to my mind, a permit, even if you have to give you a permit, and you can't stop you from getting you a permit, that you have to fill it out and return that, seems to be a violation to me. Let me offer you something. You go look in your own state law. Look at your law and you find out what a definition for a permit is. It's in the same list of license and permission. But it's usually tied to professions, trades. It's a license to do a profession or a trade. And so why are we getting permits when that definition is the same throughout the whole state? What's the trade you're doing in getting the so-called firearm, your arm? That's why I don't use the firearm. It's a federal defined thing. It's not the arm in the Constitution, as I can read. And so here we have, you know, us people giving into that. Somehow the Bar Association's grabbed us by the throat and we agree. And yet there's these distinctions in terminology that would make them different. And I don't see how they could limit any of that at all in one little bit to even ask for a permit, which under state law, I haven't found an exception, is for permission to do an illegal act in such things as trade, occupations, professions, and the other things in the list that whatever your state shows. So Biden is getting he's made us all scared now of ghost guns, like the COVID fraud, the moronic virus coming in now. It's seasonal now, but we're going to have to worry about vaccines. Who cares? But the Biden family, we're talking about, you know, they ask for these restrictions on you. And we talk about, you know, wondering about the government restricting cash for you or extending you this largesse like it's something they give you and we shouldn't even be in it. But the money gets changed hands. People in power get the preference treatment. And we read here, Biden family received money from Russia for all the Trump nonsense that's going on. House Republicans say the president's son, Hunter, sold favors and have published report receipts. The House Oversight Committee on Wednesday published receipts showing that Hunter Biden, the son of current U.S. President Joe Biden, receiving money from Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan by trading on the name, the family name. I'll just stop here because my point isn't even all about that. I'm hearing a lot of people that in the House, these councils, these oversight committees, telling us all about how bad it is, and I want to know, and? I want to know, and? Okay, we know all that. You got the proof. Now what? How much longer do we wait? You move immediately on our cash. You move immediately to go give us token citizenship. You move immediately to take out our so-called right to create our own arms by calling them ghost guns, misdefining them as firearms, regulable by some federal agency. Why aren't we going and stopping these folks? And I'm not political on this. These people are making crime. Where's the congressman to prefer charges to get that done? Oh, wait a minute. It's owned by the Bidens. Okay. We have a serious problem. So I see all this. I see all these Republicans talking about this condition, and I just want to know, and? Okay, now you know that. We all know that. We've known it. Now you got the proof. You see the proof. Now what? And what are you going to do? And I don't hear a whole lot of talking about what's going to happen. Is there a reason why the Congress critters sit on their hands? They certainly can make laws to not protect us. They can make laws to attack us. They should be turning their attention to make laws to protect us. Like we hear Austria saying, we're going to make cash legal tender to quell the people's concerns. And we should be doing that at the state level to say, here, we need gold and silver coin minted. Some states are doing this. But I also notice I'm a little hesitant to say, oh, embrace all that, because it sounds like there's some centralization of it as well to the state. And what was interesting is miners used to know about that. They used to be going to the county. The county had mints. The county had assay offices. You'd bring your gold to them, and the county would make the coins and give or move it on to the next step in the process, and coins would be made with the gold. Now they were making an accounting. So they knew what a miner made and what he didn't make and what he had. They did the assays. So it was an interesting centralization of control of wealth as well and property. So we've got to be cautious on what we see going on relative to these, but maybe better that than nothing for sure as we watch the economies being destroyed and changed and just being transferred over into a different style of control. So we have all the Congress people not protecting the people, but we sensationalize the Biden crime family. No one gets arrested. No one really stops anything. And I don't know about you. I'm sure that you are. And my listeners behind the woodshed are certainly tired, probably tired of it. So what are we going to do? What are we doing in order to try and shift gears for them is a different problem. And there isn't an insight. You just walk away from it, but it's not going away. They're coming after us. Now what do? We've got this silent war coming on us. It's all around us. You can't walk from that. At some point, you interact with society. At some point, you got to take your tokens. They're going to take their tokens. They got to make cash out of it. At some point, you have to touch the world in some place. And that's usually where the more places that it's refined down to where you're touching, they'll get to regulate. So we have Biden here, the Biden crime family, AI, addled intellect, and they're making off with the whole country, and no one seems to stop it. Everyone makes big news for themselves about how much they've identified the criminal. But this artificial intellect, this error-prone intellect, is still smarter than they are, getting away with it. But one lady in Detroit said, no, I'm going to sue that. Detroit woman sues city after false arrest due to inaccurate facial recognition software. Not only is facial recognition technology invasive, it's also inaccurate. As I've been saying over and over, AI is a tool. AI can be neat. AI can pull a lot of information and find patterns in it. It can make up patterns, and that's the garbage in, garbage out. But someone has to analyze it for the truth of it all. It's end product. And the addled intellect, AI I am, Biden, is getting away with, is a system that's coming on that is error prone. He is error prone. He is AI. Facial recognition software runs on pattern recognition. That's it. It's error prone. And this lady caught him. I don't know how more people aren't, but this is maybe us being crickets as well. And it's difficult, I understand. And it can be expensive. And I don't know, you know, friends you might have to be an attorney that might work good and become a lawyer and actually do some. I don't know. I don't know of them. I've been looking for, because I'm being told in my condition that I have to get help, I've been looking. They're not out there. No one, it seems, reads the law. And when you talk about it, they think you're a nut. Is the legal system. It's pretty fascinating. Now, there are two main reasons opponents of proliferation of facial recognition and biometric data cite when they speak out against the trend. One is the invasion of privacy of each person subjected to it on a grand scale, WorldCoin, Iris Orb, and the other, the inadequacy of the technology itself, given the task is supposed to perform mass surveillance that should produce conclusions, some of which can lead to serious consequences. Again, we're putting over into AI this simple pattern coding to do things that affect us. And this one woman stops it. I want to point out again, anything AI is error prone. It's inaccurate. So I think we should be getting a little bit more uppity about this information getting to businesses and governments, as we heard through WorldCoin. Facial surveillance is error prone. It's what AI is. It's what Biden is. I am AI, addled intellect. I want to repeat this over and over. That's what your coins are. That's your token citizenship. They put AI behind the account. They run their information through that. There's algorithms through that. And they're error prone. Tutoring. I'll get it right here. Tutoring firm settles U.S. agency's first bias lawsuit involving AI software. Not only is it AI prone, it can be made to make crime. The China-based tutoring company has agreed to settle a U.S. government agency's novel lawsuit claiming it used hiring software powered by artificial intelligence to illegally weed out older job applicants. The 2022 lawsuit against iTutor Group Incorporated was the first by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission involving one of the company's uses of AI to make employment decisions. The commission, which enforces workplace bias laws, in 2021 launched an initiative to ensure that AI software used by U.S. employers complies with anti-discrimination laws. The EEOC has warned that it will focus enforcement efforts on companies that misuse AI. Fine, good, because it's error-prone. Remember, the EEOC was the same one that messed people up for Covey swindle. Gave all this advice that wasn't valid, as I could prove to you in the local law, because the EEOC has no jurisdiction over local law and higher than local law. This is saying that it can be discriminatory. Let me ask you something. Think about what I just said. It's discriminatory. That's based on what? Federal law for what discrimination is, and only the classes for discrimination. So if discrimination is programmed into the artificial implement or the AI, that's not protected by discrimination laws. For instance, such things as this ESG or other sustainability goals. Will you be protected from that foreign discrimination? Is there a watchdog to serve as a check or balance for you? What about as applied to your FedCoin token citizenship? If you haven't yet, are you starting to see what I've been saying? If you expect any freedom there, you will have to be, there's going to have to be a law that protects you about it. I've been saying this for years. It's coming. Here's the case. It talks about a watchdog in the federal government that can go after anti-discrimination, but it's a list of a small class of things. And I want you to consider everything that's not in those class of things and know that someone then can use them against you. Those of you thinking that any energy put in the elections will stop this broadside really need to consider your strategy. Those that have a reliable alternative will not escape this discrimination in the near future unless you have a complete alternative. It's really comprehensive what's coming down. Watching government representatives call out Biden misdeeds while effectively sitting on their hands are wasting time here. They're not helping you turn it around by turning their focus on the things that people need now. People need now to be protected from these things. that small group of discrimination laws is not enough to protect you from the ESGs. And this is those that think that they see it, I don't really know that they do. They see what I'm saying. You can see what I'm saying. But how it works is an insidious, stealthy encroachment. And the representatives that you have, there's a kind of a dichotomy here between if you don't, you get run down. If you don't use the government, you get run down. And by using the government, you legitimize the corruption of government. I get it. We're in a war now. But if you don't, you're going to be run down to the extent that you can't make an alternative. And so these so-called representatives that sit there need to turn around and look to stop the stealthy encroachment, actually stop the irreparable harm that's going to invade every facet of your life. And if you don't think economy invades every facet of your life, you really need to step back and think about how this really starts to work. There was a little jokey tweet that went through about, not a joke, it wasn't a joke to start with, but I kind of twisted it a bit, needing a new paradigm. Thank you, Rob Works, for putting that out. We do. We're getting a whole new mindset. But needing a new paradigms, but only having 2 cents worth is arguably not going to be enough, folks. This is quite a massive undertaking in a way. There's going to be some simple common sense answers. But if people don't understand and stay in that centered and grounded in that simple common sense area, or think they can avoid having to look at that and maybe make it into the future to sneak through, I really don't see that. I've been looking at this for quite a long time. So error prone, AI. Talk about addled intellect. Talk about being error prone, moving into a new future, the new future coming, and what these people in government will do to other people and what they, I told you, they'll do to you. Not a question anymore. So it looks like the wheels over here are coming off of Africa. Finally, I just wonder why those people could be oppressed for so long. But as I said, the world is coming to a point where they say enough is enough. As we see this week, the maiden, the Madonna, the midwife, and toodles over to Niger to scare off the U.S. trained natives of their coup. Now, folks, this is some serious stuff coming down. They're actually now talking so quickly that it might actually spark what they consider a World War III. It wasn't out of Ukraine. Coming right out of the people there. Victoria Nuland, Washington's regime change Karen, wants to speak to the manager in Niger of their coup of an existing government that was being controlled by the United States, and they've had it. Famous for puppeteering during the 2014 Ukraine coup, the thinking behind this choice of envoy couldn't be clearer. And boy, this woman is an evil-looking woman. I just can't tell you. There's just an evil in her that it transcends a whole lot. These people, the United States sent over this envoy to threaten the coup leaders who are telling us that it's done. These people are done with the colonialism. They're not going to take it anymore. And I don't know how intelligent these folks are from the United States doing this. Maybe they're not at all. Maybe they don't care. The United States is big and bad and tough, right? We're just bullies. Russian flag in the hands of African anti-colonialists has spooked, in quotes, spooked the West. This is a fascinating dynamic being built by what we would see military overthrow of governments, but in fact, now learning that the United States has been controlling the government that was overthrown, and those people have had enough of the oppression. The visit to Niger this week of U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, the FU Europe comment, right? I mean, these people are evil. The architect of the 2014 Euromaidan coup in Ukraine, remember that, the United States caused that, that's what ends up getting Russia involved today, has failed to intimidate the country's new rulers into restoring Bazoum to the presidency of lifting their embargo on uranium supplies to France. This is a big deal, folks. This country used to be colonized by France. They got booted out like they got booted out in Mali. If you take a serious assessment of Western legacy, especially France and the UK and Europeans and now the United States, if you take a look at the assessment of their legacy in colonialism, the relationship, it's just not been positive at all. Kukui said, the academic said, a series of military takeovers in France, formerly colonies in the West Africa, was not surprising or unpopular. So the military takeovers of those countries from Western nations is not surprising and not unpopular with those people. We want to talk democracy? The people, the population deciding? Quote, there's a combination between a rising movement of the discontented civil servants, civilians, and population saying, we have just had enough. We really don't want you here anymore. We can deal with our own issues. And the military is probably one of the rallying points of force, of power, that the populace are saying, we're going to use you to really help us get rid of most of these colonialists. Is exactly the point I told you what Russia was doing, saying, we've had enough. And China and all the other countries that are now coming together because the United States has an addled intellect. It's so in your face that the West has got no respect now. Wagner boss expresses joy over Victoria Nuland. This is an interesting insight of why diplomacy, at least statesmanship, what it used to be, was so very important. Which you had to be very careful on things you did, what you said, what you looked like, how you did it, all these protocols. There's a reason for all that. It sends messages. This one is sending a big message. The mere mention of the Wagner PMC of the United States has caused the United States to consider recognizing the new government of Niger, Evgeny Prigozhin has said. Because the Wagner PMC is there, there's a band of control, and the Russians are over there. China's over there. The United States has really mismanaged this whole thing, and the Chinese and the Russians are taking control. Wagner's been there throughout the whole of the Central of Africa. And the fact that Wagner's there caused the United States to not do a diplomatic position. It actually went to try and make peace, if you will, within the law, the losses that they're now suffering, because they know if they go too hard-handed, they'll lose the entire thing. And I think they may have already done it. But this is such a disrespect that we can see the Wagner boss and Prigozhin coming up expressing joy that Victoria Nuland even did this. They have no respect for the United States. And I'm saying that in a way that they don't have to have respect for the United States. The United States is not honorable. And so we see a really interesting dynamic going on in Africa. I think this is a big deal. I've been watching it for a little bit as I can. And I don't see how the attitude in the world of people, the countries and the people who had enough of the West is, part of me says that that's part of the new plan to get everybody to come together. But I think there's a truth. In Africa, probably more than other places, they've had enough of the colonialism. They've had enough of this control, the slavery, the theft of the production. Again, African countries are going to be resorting on what they can produce. This country has uranium that France was taking. Now you look at the balance of power of not nuclear weapons necessarily, but nuclear power. Now, what's the cost of that? What's that going to do to the availability, and who gets control of that? They talk about rare earth materials being controlled 90% by China. What happens now with Russia and uranium? Because Russia supplies everybody else with their uranium to a very high level. And so that's one where people have said, enough is enough, and we're going to resist you. And they're coming together to resist each other. We're going to resist you. We don't care anymore. We don't even care that you're the biggest, the baddest, you say. We've had enough. And now there's a whole different dynamic, geopolitics going on. There's help coming in quietly and silently, and maybe not so quietly and silently with this Prigozhin statement. Joyful that Victoria Nuland had to go in to try and make peace with a nation that they are just tried to threaten. Wow. That's just a wow in my mind. Diplomatic wow. Look at this. So let's go to the other side, though. In a country that can't, The country that cannot embrace other than the West is in the news as well. U.S. neighbor opts against BRICS. Remember, we said the global South. Apparently, Mexico is not going to be in the global South, at least not yet. Mexico will instead work on strengthening ties with Washington, its president said. Now, I don't know if you can't hear threat of invasion as the United States Congress or whoever senators were claiming they wanted to send the military in to stop the failed drug war they started and the cartels and all that. And I'm not saying there's not problems there. What I'm saying is that the United States comes with a big giant stick in their military. And Mexico is not a country that can protect itself against that. So it has to play the game a little bit different. Mexico's president says, we are not going to participate in this bloc, the BRICS, in this association. Of course, we celebrate that other countries do. However, for reasons of proximity, geopolitics, we will continue strengthening the alliance with the North American, America, and the whole of the Americas. Now, understand we do have there the Mexico-United States-Canadian treaties. That's what they're actually focusing on. But listen to the hesitation here. It's pretty chilling in a way. They go on to say what they're going to do relative to the future. It's not all we're just going to stay north and we're not going to participate. It's that essentially now, right now, we can't. He goes, our program is to bolster the treaty with the United States and Canada for us to consolidate as a region. We are going to pursue the integration of the entire Americas in the medium and long term, but we will change old policies that have not worked and in addition convince the political class, above all in the United States, of the importance of a Latin America. So this is how they have to go where they don't have the strength to stop the brute. They have to do it diplomatically. And I don't know how you don't look at that and say that's a capitulation to the United States. It's not able. Mexico is not a sovereign that's not able to resist the United States geopolitically or by proximity. And they'll be working over time to convince people in the United States not to take their future going into the BRICS as an insult, notwithstanding its alliance with the North America. And so I find this little thing here impressive in the two ways that countries will be dealing with this. And the one on the continent can't do much. The one off the continent with help and neighbors can. As we watch the United States attempt to be controlling all the politics around the world. And in part, I don't necessarily disagree that you at least have influences, but the way it's so heavy-handed and obvious anymore, there's no finesse. There's just no class behind what's going on. Even if it's the skullduggery that you might have read in The Prince, Machiavelli. I mean, there's no class behind it. As we see moving into another place, Pakistan's ex-PM Imran Khan arrested and sentenced to 3 years in prison. This is a serious issue as well. This is, again, we want to come as the United States supporting democracy. The United States runs Pakistan. Imran Khan was the people's choice, and they're doing the political insight. They have the ability to influence the Pakistani government to do the bidding of the United States. An Islamabad court has sentenced former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan to 3 years in prison after finding him guilty of corrupt practices in the Toka Shikana case. And this is now, there's a lot of protests on this, but the underlying point was stated and the goal in an article, as we hear and listen for the signature of the United States on it, goal of Imran Khan's arrest to keep ex-Pakistani PM out of elections. Pakistani authorities arrested the former Prime Minister Imran Khan on August 5th after a court sentenced him to 3 years in prison on corruption charges. Khan's lawyer condemned the court's decision as a murder of justice. Where have we heard all that before? With supporters of the ex-PM perceiving the conviction as a political interference ahead of elections. And so, does that sound familiar to anybody here? Opposition leader arrested and imprisoned? Is that any different than Trump treatment coming out of the vassal state of Pakistan? Again, the signature is all over this. It's what they're doing. I told you, what they're doing it somewhere else, they're going to do it at home. And whether or not I agree with Trump or whatever and saw some other things about Trump than most people I see that promote him is irrelevant to this whole point of deep state, CIA, whoever, control of governments without accountability. This is interesting times, if nothing else, on this. Confirmed. U.S. pressed Pakistani government to oust Imran Khan over neutrality on Ukraine. Just a position, and it wasn't enough for the United States. And the government was able to be persuaded. Another crime. Where's the law and order? This is what I say, the rules-based order. No, there's none. It's whatever rules that they're going to get, that the United States is going to impose on you. Confirmed. U.S. pressed Pakistani government to oust Imran Khan. Do you see any difference in its treatment of the United States and the disrespect of the people of the United States? At least the people of Pakistan are rioting. The United States pressured the Pakistani government to oust now former Prime Minister Imran Khan over his neutral stance on Russia's special military operation in Ukraine, independent U.S. media reported Wednesday, citing a classified Pakistani cable. The report indicated the United States officials warned their Pakistani counterparts in a meeting on March 7, 2022, the bilateral relations with Pakistan would be jeopardized if Imran Khan remained in power. Now, whatever that jeopardy is to the Pakistanis, I didn't research deep enough. The point is that the people were influenced by the United States to undermine their democratic political process and over Ukraine, another democratic overthrown process by the United States. So that I see lots of people in government, the United States government, saying, oh, we're caught Biden this and that and the other and Russia, oh, and deals and money, and I still see them talking. You're looking at a show. Kabuki theater. This is the democracy and Zio warmongering is what we're watching in the world. You know, think Nuland and her husband and the Blinken idiot are not of this class of people, these special chosen. Garland. This is actually pretty... can you spit nails, actually? I don't know. In lieu of according to the report released Wednesday, Lou reported privately that if the situation involving Khan wasn't resolved, Pakistan would be isolated by its Western allies. In Africa, they're saying, good, isolate. What's France going to do for their uranium now? Yeah. What's Russia going to do? Well, maybe help Niger either take that material from them and pay them, or else they will show them how to do it themselves. You think you're going to have a nuclear Niger in the future? Don't know. I'm not sure if Russia will do that. But the source of it's there, and it's no longer in actual control of the United States because those people said, we've had enough of you. Go away. And what does the psychopaths in Washington do? Because, again, our economy's not doing as good as Russia. Oh, Russia's currency is going down the tubes. Oh, well, it's not. Their economy is doing quite fine, thank you. Better than three of the bigger powerhouses in Europe. So what does Russia or the United States do? The U.S. is stoking tension in Persian Gulf as it's losing control, needs more wars. I hope people are paying attention. Just by accident, things can happen now. The Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, which plays a crucial role in the global trade, have yet again found themselves in the focus of the United States military. It has accused Iran of seizing and harassing civilian vessels, a practice that the Islamic Republic has resolutely denied employing. And remember, I call your attention to this, what I've presented before. Iran has the ability to track down contraband, you know, on the seas, on their ocean, next to their country. And we are hearing that that's what they're doing. They capture these freighters, and they're full of contraband. Not much different than Russia just found out that the Ukraine ships that were taking the grain out were actually testing to have explosive materials put on them. Now, what are explosive residues doing in a grain ship? And so we don't hear the United States going over there to Russia and saying and threatening them. No, they go and do it to what is seemingly a more weak country that said, we've had enough. We're not bowing to you anymore. The United States realizes that it's losing control and cannot maintain without creating more wars, which explains why it is stoking tension in the Persian Gulf. Laith Maarouf, a broadcaster and journalist based in Beirut, Lebanon, told Sputnik, with increasingly more countries rejecting U.S.-driven so-called rules-based order, the American feeling that its coveted superior role of being the world policeman that the laws don't apply to, slipping from its grasp, Washington is desperate to fan hostilities in the region. Enough, you can read more, not much more than there to read, actually. That's the story. But let me offer you something. And I don't know the true power of the United States ultimately. But these countries have been coming up technologically really quickly, and Iran is really coming along. In fact, remember, the United States does not have a hypersonic weapon. But Iran may not be a pushover in their technology. They're not stupid people. I don't know why I hear comments that the Persians are just backwards or whatever. They're not. Political power, monetary power, military power, that may be one thing, but they're not ignorant and stupid. They may have a different lifestyle as well that looks pretty different. I don't know. But they may not be a pushover. Why? An interesting story this week. The United States does not have the hypersonic. Well, we have some hypersonic stuff, but it's because it's ballistic. But Iran has developed a ramjet-powered cruise missile as regional tensions flare. And what these things do, very interesting technology, but what these things do, they travel hypersonic. And they're a cruise missile. And these cruise missiles anymore can take out ships, as we've heard Russia's, and they can't be stopped yet by the United States. The Islamic Republic possesses an entire arsenal of domestically developed tactical short, medium, and long-range ballistic and cruise missiles. Iran's adversaries regularly prove the importance of these weapons have in preserving regional strategic stability, with tensions escalating recently amid the U.S. push to ramp up its presence in the Gulf. The mystery missile, said to be part of a new generation of Iranian naval cruise missiles, is reportedly undergoing testing, expecting it to open a new chapter in Iran's defense technologies and complicate enemy efforts to intercept Iranian retaliatory strikes in the event of conflict. Now, it's been said China may have the capacity to take out our aircraft carriers. Russia is said to have that capacity. If Iran gets that capacity, they're not going to be the pushover that we have been told in the West. And our sailors are going to die. For what? For the United States being just a big thug. It's not able to negotiate with countries and let them have theirs and let them do what they will, short of an actual threat to the United States. The employment of ramjet engines on naval cruise missiles and development of supersonic cruise missiles will greatly enhance Iran's response power in a case of any military conflict and prevent the invading forces from showing timely reaction. And they're right there. They got missiles right there now. And so I'm not concerned for us, our military, that we're walking into stuff. Again, the politics is that you have to protect your economy. You do that with war. This has been talked about for years, and we're watching the United States step right into that. You're going to send in military equipment, and countries are not taking it anymore. Even a lowly Iran, they're not really that incapable in some regard either, but. Again, I don't know the totality of the force that can come by the United States, but they're not going to do it on the Strait of Hormuz. I can suggest that. But any ship sitting in the Strait of Hormuz is against a hypersonic missile, a cruise missile, is likely dead. And especially if they got the technology of Russia does to evade defenses. Yeah, pretty impressive. Not even the United States has that yet. And Russia prepared for that all this time when it finally said, enough's enough. We're not going to back down. It doesn't matter. We see 360,000 troops in Poland ready to take over Ukraine. We're not going to back down. And that starts to move, and we may be looking literally at the World War III. I don't know how that gets contained as Russia sees that as an existential threat and has to go by its own determination. It decides it has to go nuclear. And London gets taken out, and whomever else they decide to take out gets taken out. Serious, serious condition. Bombshell, moving on to a different type of holocaust. Military holocaust. So spokesperson admits during Australian Senate hearing that Pfizer employees were given special batch vaccines different from what was distributed to the public. We mentioned this here behind the woodshed that we didn't know after we saw those charts of the differing responses, all the bombshell stories that were coming out there at that time, and I was pointing out the data was showing it. This almost looks like a programmed experiment. Different batches weren't showing the same results. Different places in the batches were concentrated in effects. And there was this idea about even just being saline. Some of them had no effects at all. Remember, we were talking about as well the bombshell reports that said that saline was more harmful than the jabs. Well, now we have the Pfizer employee admitting that, in fact, they were making separate batches depending on whom was going to be the target. Dr. Hewitt here then says, responding after the question of what we've read, that your vaccine mandate was using your own batch vaccine, especially imported from Pfizer, which was not tested by the TGA. Is that correct? And his answer is, so Pfizer undertook to import a batch of vaccine specifically for the employee vaccination program, and that was so that no vaccine would be taken from government stocks that was being delivered to clinics as needed. A noble statement, but we now see that they do, in fact, and did, in fact, have abilities to change out and give separate and special batches. Totally consistent with the experimental data that we got just a year after that, when it started to come out. So what else has been out there, you know, that's been going on? More potential evidence and this next couple stories regarding all that and what those experiments may have entailed. We talked about a little bit about the nanotechnology and this and that. And I did run across someone looking at sound minds over, I think it might have been at Odyssey, the Odyssey account that Sound Minds runs, simulcasting the broadcast. More of that information of what was in these experimental things that they wouldn't give, the noble practice of not giving up the government stores of the bioweapons they were given to the people, but they weren't going to give that to the government people. It shows you another serious control situation. Maybe why all those nurses were dancing in the hallway. They found out they were getting maybe not even saline, maybe something else, who knows. But from open source media commenting on SoundMind's Odyssey account, some links I just wanted to point out. I want people to do some background research on this. I didn't have the time to do much of it. But it's an interesting finding, at least an idea. Remember I talked about this being the some of the looked like there was in the facts of it. I can show you the science behind the fact of these nanomaterials, but this is beyond vaccine as well. But when we get to the problem, nanotechnology found in both vaxxed and unvaxxed people. So now we see a chasm being drawn here, closed, that nanotechnology that may have been checked then and being found out may have been in our environment before. That's not new news either. What I'm pointing out is, I told you years before things came out and admissions be made, we know that they could now make special batches. This is batch specific now, not just big runs of vaccines. And they knew exactly where they were doing. They were keeping a track of this very meticulously. almost sounds like the Russian, the Hitler Germans and their experiments, doesn't it? And IBM. So we do see a story here, and I want people to maybe do some more background research. Like I said, I didn't have the time. Dr. Charles Morgan, formerly CIA and consultant before the United States military on neurological science, and that's partly why I'm concerned about the accuracy of this, but I'm going to go with it because I think we've had enough independent results saying, and why we were talking about earlier, that nanotechnology is being used. Remember, those scientists were doing microphotography, to see it, and we just couldn't see and understand what they were. But in 2018, he spoke to West Point cadets about a current state of technology. He briefed the cadets on experiments from 2013 where humans were given neural implants that allowed them to control prosthetic arms with their thoughts, experiments where one person can control the other person's hand by just wearing an EEG cap. Experiments where information is transmitted from one mind to another. Experiments where memories are erased. Remember my story about the rat telling the patient to not wag his tail. Remember, that's been information I've been talking about for all these years as well. I want to remind you of the dragonfly that had to be prepped with certain internal bodily ingredients, chemicals, in order to make it more receptive to these controls. And so this is a story that came out. I just wanted to point out, again, a thank you to Open Source Media for putting them in, just to let us know and remind us that there's things going on. We don't now know where the source might be, but we do see there were special batches in the Kobe Swindle warp speed attack against people as the military was looking at something. There's an experiment they were making on society. New findings in unvaccinated live blood show same self-assembly hydrogel spheres as in embalmed blood deceased with huge rubbery clots. So this is like the old technology, but more information. Like I said, I'm handing it over because I think it's consistent with what we should have been finding, more information for those of you that are interested. And I think the main interest for me, for you, would be to see where technology's going. And if, let's say, it's going into the spray, those non-contrail things, if it's up in there, which we have got information for, the nanotechnology was semiconductor technology too, remember. And that was years and years ago I did on that analysis on what humic acid does to destroy the substrates, so you don't know it's there. Humic acid's in the soil. It's healthy soil is what humic acid comes from, the biologics of a soil. Biologics a word? Might be now. Not that I did it. I think somebody else made that up. But there's a biology that makes this humic acid that destroys the substrates of these nanoparticles that may have been aerosols. That's why they're going across. We are all focused on this jab. It was actually happening before and in our food and in the chemistry that's put on the food and in the food. Remember, 95% organic is 5% poison. Literally, that's the definition. We talked about all this. So I bring this up just to point it out that it's more stuff coming. I'm a little hesitant to underwrite these for sure. Again, without having knowledge and equipment and first-hand eyes and sense on these things, we have to be a little careful. But if I'm looking at conditions that the symptomology, the response in the society and the environment is showing something, I want to be cognizant of that and not, whether or not I know what can cause it, I know something's happening. And part of this is also reflecting back on the Operation Hindsight 2020. I told you going into Kobe Swindle, the haystack of noise that we'd be, and I was always concerned that there was a needle, an actual real thing that they had developed. I don't know what that might be at all. So it's important that we at least keep an eye on what they're doing. We have disease X now, right? Don't even have to put a name on it. Just the slavery. It's the slavery disease. You don't have to just put an X by your name. So they put an X. And that's for all the slaves, the token citizens. So I want to remind us, too, as we move this thing along, all this stuff is there. The government's doing things. We don't know what they're doing at all. We can see evidence of it. We can see testimony of people that are now admitting to things we could tell. We're not stupid people. we could see what's going on. We just didn't have the real proof. I mean, the actual, you got it. You know, like I told you, always listen very carefully. Accept what you're being told by someone when they're telling you the truth. And they just told us that they made special batches and they gave them to the government. At least one got caught. So what was the extent of those special batches? And then where and for what reason? On and on this thing goes. And so we are I know lots of people don't want to get involved, and I don't disagree in large part, but we're in a time when we don't get involved, we lose the muscle memory how to be involved. When they come after us, we don't have that muscle memory to respond for us and our own protection. We can use some of these other issues and matters to get versed in how to deal with the bureaucracies, essentially, that we're dealing with. And I want to remind us of, I think I was telling last week, if you have a comment you can be making by August 21st, 2023, whether relative to U.S. government wanting facial scans for children. The question here, is that to protect children or to traffic them? As we now see, this is a big issue rising. I'm happy to see the issue. I'm hesitant to promote it some more. I've told you what happened to me. I went after found out it was inside the system. I said, don't turn out. Don't look outward that the trafficking is happening out there. It's happening right in a city near you in the United States, and I'm sure everywhere. And I still don't see a lot of focus here, but this is what we start to see under the color of saving the children. This is actually set up these are programs that are set up to take down our people, essentially. Do you want to have a U.S. government spatially scan your little ones? The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, of the federal U.S. government is considering allowing businesses to use biometric facial scans for children under 13 of age as a new mechanism for obtaining parental consent. A new mechanism for getting your parental consent. Mother and father, they only think of you as a custodial ward of their child, their agent, their ward of the state child. And so the Federal Trade Commission is a federal side. They have nothing to do really of this, except when you look at your child services, that is federal, and your states had to agree to bring that agency, that evil agency, in. And that's where I started to find it back in 2005 or 2003, somewhere in there. Again, as I told you, I saw a judge do something on the bench that was totally anomalous. And that's where that anomaly, nobody caught. I caught it, I tracked it back through, found out there's a big problem. And it happens to be the systemic trafficking that goes on under color of child services. And now they wanted a mechanism for obtaining your consent. They don't get your consent anyway, but this is what they try and tell you. And there's an opportunity for you to make a comment. And again, if you read this, go ahead and get this story to read about it. I ask you to start your muscle memory about how to obtain your standing within administrative. There's no threat here, is the point, to get an administrative action to see how far you might press to stop something like this, where the question is, and this is a legitimate question, to protect or to traffic the little ones. And this has got the double-edged sword on all this. You'll see the double-edged sword on everything, like the WorldCoin, the Iris, the Orb, all this tracking that goes on. It's not just the little ones. That's what we focus on to give us the warm and fuzzies. But this is also going to the third-party businesses. What businesses of theirs? They come under the color of age verification. Again, it's the going like no bail to now we have arsonists that can't be put away, and they just serially go and burn. They get released within hours, they're burning a field again, and they get caught up and they get arrested and they get released after booking and they go burn another field again. And so we attack the colleague. They're going to, you know, go after the legislator that allowed that. But I said that's not going to be the answer, because that legislator was stupid enough to do that in the first place. He doesn't have the answer on how to solve that problem, and he's probably not there to solve the problem. It takes a group of people to sit back and look at the real problem, look at what's going on, and really come up with a better solution. It may not be the perfect one, but it's got to be better than what they're doing. It's not much different than what I did doing the analysis of the wildfire policy. The national wildfire policy found out that the authority sits in your counties, doesn't sit in the federal government to manage fires. You have to do the study. But once you see it, it opens up the truth of what was supposed to happen. Then what you're up against is a bunch of derelict officials that are impressed with their own, they got votes from people who are ignorant as well, off to a point. But here, you have an ability to comment. I don't know what that will do for you as far as understanding or how far you go. If you don't make a comment, you cannot persist to try and stop this. And if you do, then you have standing to shut it down. You need to really research this stuff so that you have a real basic understanding. I wouldn't just look at the, oh, we're, is this trafficking? That's one of the things they're going to claim as a government. They don't do that. But you're not going to prove they do. So you really have to look at this as side. We got to look at this thing as a little bit of a sideways look and get at it a different way. In the Federal Register notice, the FTC is seeking comment on a number of questions related to application, including whether the proposed age verification method is covered by existing methods, meaning you have to research those and see how it does or does not, and to the extent whether the proposed method meets the requirements under COPPA rule. So you have to read that rule. I know lots of you just turned away, but you have to read this stuff to understand what they're doing because they're after your little ones, okay? This is your little ones they're after. They're after your future little ones. And that's not the end of it. Once they perfect this, they come after you. They're going to get you because you're just going to consent, like with the Fed coins, all that stuff. All that's coming down. That's how they get you. But they're going to do this also through these laws. And whether the proposed method poses a privacy risk to consumers' personal information, including their biometric information. And you have to show how even their protection, it's not about encryption. It's about someone else just having the information, and they aren't trustable. Their systems are not trustable. There's too many weak links. There's hardware failures. There's all kinds of hacking. There's absolutely privacy risks when you give this kind of information over. They then tie into your little one's phone you've given to them. They can track them wherever they go. Of course there's going to be. You have to pull something together and make a cogent comment right on point. Synthesize all your thoughts down to nice, clear sentences. And I ask you to do that for yourself. This is a training exercise that you'll be using, as I've done in years, on how you go about addressing these things. And I have to say, though some of it's not obvious, you can make, whether you make a direct change or an indirect change, you can make the change. It makes somebody think about something, or you do prevail, or enough people come with it, and they, like I showed you, Jefferson Mining District, we made a comment of the definition of the waters of the United States. When that definition got approved, there was 12 states, attorney generals in the states, that sued against that definition. Jefferson Mining District decided we weren't going to go join that because they had the answers that came from that were sufficient that, again, we believed that they would cover it, and they did. So, but we had standing at that point to even go after that if we wanted. And so what it turned out is one of our comments, not that they referred to it, but the comments that we made, the principles that we brought, were reflected in that case. I can't tell you the one or the three or the four. I can tell you the things we talked about in our Jefferson Mining District comment were subject matters that were specifically discussed and dealt with. So you can have an influence on these outcomes as well. More importantly for us and for me, I got an idea, better idea, is doing it, as anything you do experience, on how to address bureaucracy. There's a certain, when they ask you a question, you have to answer just to that. If you can find that what they're asking or interested in asking about is not sufficient, you bring that part up, that it's an undisclosed consequence of that question or that point. And if you find a glaring problem, you bring that up, and you bring that as a challenge to extend the process to go look at that question or that condition specially. You can do that. Point is you're getting engaged again in something that looks like it's futile. And my experience is it's really not futile that way. And it does take a little bit of work, but I've been also able to see, once you get the insight, you know, as you read more, you know more. You know where to go look. My troubles that I'm having now, I know I go to some section of law will be quoted, and I just run to it, and I read until I figure out what it's supposed to do. And it takes a little bit of while, but I start to understand what's going on, and I can respond to that, as you could. And so this trafficking issue is now more known. I told you my history in that. I failed. I couldn't do what you now see today being done. There's many more people in my trail, of the timing I went through, those that I found that did the same thing and started to uncover those same things are not alive. And so this is a serious affront to all this. And why part of my question on the Sound of Freedom moving not that I've analyzed it, but I because they focused outwardly and not inwardly, I'm concerned. I did make some concessions to the fact that maybe they had to, because it's a difficult subject. They could do the warm and fuzzy for you, get involved with that. You get behind the cause of the gentleman doing it, but you have no clue that it's a reality behind the scenes and what's going on. And a story comes up, and again, with a grain of salt, I hope is, in a way, I'd kind of say, I hope this is not really that true. It's kind of interesting. We don't understand why would the petroleum industry embrace a hostile petroleum advocacy? Why would they want to see low carbon when they're a carbon company? That carbon producing company. That's the kind of stuff you have to look at now. That's what's going on in the world. It makes no sense that way. They have other things they're doing. They don't think like us. Their objectives are not like our objectives, and they're not at all. When I see this story, I'm concerned. I don't know what it ends up meaning, but it makes some sense. And if not necessarily, then it condemns the people that did it. So don't think I'm doing that. The trafficking is information that needs to be known, but not outwardly only either. But Sounds of Freedom may allegedly fund, Sound of Freedom movie allegedly funded by billionaire philanthropists with ties to human trafficking. Now, I'm torn on this, but if it's the truth, it needs to be outed, and everybody has to be innocent, and you really need to bring that with you when you do the studies. I'm not the guy to do this anymore. Someone who's more interested might. Someone may have given a start here. We see here in a picture Hillary Clinton and Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim, right billionaire John Paul DeJuria with his wife and an unidentified representative of the Central Intelligence Agency, as they tend to want to show that there's a connection between this Mexican billionaire and this trafficking. I'm not going to say that there is, because I don't have the proof. My point is, these are bigger stories going on. There's people that contribute to these projects. You would think, why would they be outing it? Well, it's not our logic that works, and it works for them is the other problem. More information is continuing to surface about the people behind the box office hit movie Sound of Freedom. As this author wrote in his original critique, or hers, excuse me, I don't know, of this film, the fact that this movie is becoming so popular on the big screen is proof that the elite are not censoring it, and so many of the right-wing Christian alternative media are claiming. I've received plenty of negative emails by conservatives from my reviews and the Sound of Freedom film because of the minds of so many conservatives that child trafficking issue is only a liberal problem. I'll let you go read the rest. He's making his points. He's making his observations. This is the kind of interesting thing that goes on. You'd think that people who are doing a dastardly deed wouldn't want to promote their own stuff. It's like a narcissism of some sort. Look at me, and they still get away with it. So we want to be careful on what we protect and what we embrace. And that said, getting the word out is important. Maybe use it as a springboard. I hope something I said today helps you bring clarity, help look through the convolutions of the world, of what's going on, so that we can make a better path. Let's not be on the tracks of the train that's coming and barreling down on us from behind. And let's not be anywhere near it in case it derails as well as we attempt to negotiate our way through this new world they're trying to bring on us. A lot of us is just saying no. But then you have to see, you have to be able to defend yourself against that. Otherwise, you're in Mexico at this point with these cartel guys. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
A can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, they just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.